know this is a women's event and I'm not supposed to be up here. I understand that.
We wouldn't expect you.
Well, I didn't want to miss the opportunity because the guest speaker that we have tonight is it's an honor to be able to introduce most of you who don't know her to her. And she's very special, and I'll get to that in just a second. But I do want to say this too, just looking around as Bart's leading worship and Amy's singing, it was so good. You know, you come here tonight, you give up a Friday night, and you come here, and I hope that you realize it's not just for a women's event, right? It's not just an event. It's not just a meal, right? We can do that anytime. But I hope we all remember that we come here, and your women, your sisters, but you come here so that you can lean on one another, so that you can worship the Lord together, so that you can pray together. All that is so important when women come together, and that's why we do it special for women. Guys have no idea the struggles that women face. Like, we don't know all the ups and downs of your daily lives, but women do. And so, like, you should be able, when you come to something like this, to look to your left and to your right and know that you can reach out to that person. They may understand your struggle, that you can pray and ask for prayer with that person. That's why these type of nights are so important. And then ultimately, yes, prayer and leaning on one another, but ultimately to worship our Lord Jesus together. So we're thankful for these nights. We're thankful for Shannon putting everything together and making sure everybody's got the food and everything. So now I'm going to bring up our guest speaker for the night, but I want to tell you guys just real quickly a little bit about how we know Shelly. I say we because, you know, she's been a part of First Fruits family for a long time from the whole church's perspective. You may not have seen her much, but that's only because she spent a lot of her time being a missionary in Guatemala. But like when we first met, or when I first met her, you know, she was a founder in a organization called Light of the World Ministries. And, you know, I got invited out to one of their food distributions, and I got to kind of see how they do things. And we owe a lot. Anybody who calls First Fruits home and knows that we do a lot in the community, we owe a lot to those visits that we took and saw how their organization helped out in the community and how they had a heart to serve people who were less fortunate than them. And so when we first started, we got encouragement from them. We learned from Shelly, you know, how to set up our food distributions and in what ways we could do that. But even more than that, we saw in her a heart to serve other people. She's one of the kindest people I know. She has a heart that will always break itself to help somebody else. And I've seen this and I've heard stories about it. And not only that, yeah, they did it. She did it here for a while, but then she got serious. They actually moved over to Guatemala and lived in Guatemala and actually served as a full-time missionary. And so as I welcome her up tonight, I want you to like really think about those things and hear her heart, right? There's a lot of experience in it, and I think it'll be beneficial to everybody in the room. We're so grateful to have her. Would you give her a warm welcome, please?
I think I have this.
Oh, you're
I don't
good.
Need that.
You're good.
Well, thank you so much for all the nice words. Now I'm gonna tell you all the junk. Are you ladies ready to go to war tonight and take that ground from the enemy?
Amen.
That's why we're here. We get to gather together as women, as daughters. And so I just wanna take a moment, because we don't war from striving and we don't war from everything that happened today and everything that happened yesterday. We war from a place of rest. So I want you guys just to close your eyes and just to breathe for a minute. Just take a deep breath. Just shake it all out. Everything that happened at home today, everything that happened this morning when you woke up, things that have been piling up for days and for years, and things that you have been trialing through. Trauma, pain, grief, accusation, betrayal, everything that you have inside of you that you have been carrying for far too long. We are going to war tonight from a place of rest, from a place of knowing that we are God's daughters, knowing that our sister to the right and to the left of us has also been going through, God, and we thank you. We're just going to pray. I know we're going to pray a lot tonight. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this night. I thank you for this place, and I thank you that your presence is here. Father, I thank you that you see each one of these women sitting here. You see them, and you know them, and you created them perfectly in your image. You knit them together in their mother's womb. You called them by name. And we thank you, God, for tonight. We thank you that you're here with us. And we thank you that you see the good and the bad. You see the glory and the suffering and the victory. And you see and you know. And you love. Keep breathing. So my name is Shelley, and Cody said a lot of nice things about me, and I appreciate that. And it has been an honor to walk with you guys from the very beginning. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing in this house, in the family that he is building inside of you guys. And so tonight, he told you about me. So tonight we're going to talk on becoming evergreen. I had a lot of trauma that started at a very young age, and that trauma guided me on a path that left me not knowing who I was, and it led to choices that led to more choices, that led to things that were outside of my control. Just like everybody sitting in here. We all have choices that we make and choices that are made for us. And it leads us to this place where I didn't know who I was. And because of that, I started people-pleasing and leading a life that I had become accustomed to and complacent to, because I had submitted myself to something that was not submitted to God. And we do it every day. We submit to things or people or places of comfort in our lives that are not submitted to God. And that's where I was. And so over the last 2 years, can you throw those pictures back up? So 8 years ago, I left Jacksonville. This is the first time that I've been in Jacksonville in 8 years. So it's good to see a few faces that I know. And for those that don't know you, it's good to meet you tonight. But I moved to Guatemala. I adopted a little girl. This is her. Her name is Hannah Grace. Her name means favor of God. Favor of God. Grace upon grace from John 1:16. From his fullness, we receive grace upon grace. And she doesn't know it yet, but she is going to be one of the greatest evangelists in her generation. And I know that because the Holy Spirit has told me that. Right now, the messy part is that I did go through a divorce, and we're going, because of paperwork issues, I am separated from her right now. I get to go back and forth and spend some time with her. But that is my daughter. I live in Denver, Colorado right now, and I'm working there as I'm not a public speaker. I'm a window cleaner. Could you have guessed that? Window cleaning, I am actually an office manager for a window cleaning company. But that is a little bit about me. And my life 1 year ago, this coming week, took a drastic turn where the Lord told me, go. And I was not ready to go. I was not ready to come back to the States. I was not ready to face the trauma and the grief and the pain that I knew that the Lord was asking me to step into. And that is part of, you know, Cody told you, build a ministry, torn a ministry down. I've done it all on both sides because I didn't know who I was in Jesus. So my qualification to be standing in front of you today is none. There's none. None more than you. You should be standing here more than I am. But when I decided a year ago to be obedient and to walk with Jesus through some really, really hard and painful things that still I have not seen the answers to my prayers for, the Lord took me on this journey of discovering who I was. And so one day I Googled my name. My name is Shelley. And so I Googled what that meant. And in Hebrew, it is the word, I don't know what it is in Hebrew. I did not write that down. In English, the word is mine. And it comes from Song of Solomon's. It's the exact same word of mine as in Song of Solomon 6:3. And it says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. And he grazes among the lilies. And so I stand before you today, not because I like standing up here, because if you know me, you know that's not the case. But I stand up here before you because the Lord revealed his heart to me, and he said that I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Yes, yes. And your name might not be Shelley tonight, but that is also your identity in Christ. And so tonight we're going to talk on endurance. We're going to talk about becoming evergreen in every season of life. You look outside and everything, the trees are green all the time here. I am in Colorado now and the leaves are dying and falling and it was pretty for 2 seconds. But here in Florida, the leaves are always green. Everything's always growing. It was the same when I was in Guatemala. The leaves on the trees would be so green and the ground would be so dry. It would be so dry, even if there was a hard rain, that it would look like there had been an earthquake in the ground. But the trees were still growing. Their roots were so deeply connected through the soil that everything remained green. And that is what I want to talk about tonight. Crossing over to possess the promises of God. Being able to stay and to endure and to be evergreen in every season of life, through good seasons and bad seasons, through pain, through grief, through trauma, through depression, through anxiety, through poverty, through wealth, through victory, through joy, through peace. My prayer tonight is that you are reminded of, number one, of who God is. My prayer is that you would meet him here tonight. And my second prayer is that you would be reminded of who you are in Christ and that you would be equipped to fully step into that freedom and that foundation that is founded on the rock of Jesus himself. And I'm probably going to read a lot of my notes here because I just don't want to miss anything. But so if I'm reading too much, I apologize. But just close your eyes and breathe. So we're going to read out of Mark 15, 33 through 47. This talks about the death of Jesus. And it's so common, well, of course, that we focus on Jesus when we're reading about his death. But because it's Women's Night, we're going to talk about the women in this passage. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark 15, or it's up on the screen. It says, and when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at that ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, behold, he is calling on Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome, When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud and taken him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in the tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, was there where he was laid. In this passage of scripture, it talks about when Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" It tells us about Jesus' last breath and his loud cry. It talks about the curtain in the temple being torn from top to bottom. It tells us of the centurion who watched Jesus breathe his last breath and say, "Surely this was the Son of God." There is a lot happening here, so much so that it's easy to look past the couple sentences where it talks about the women. As I've continued reading this story, I've been drawn to this part over and over again, and honestly, it brings up a lot more questions than answers. Why did they stay to watch Jesus be crucified before their very eyes? Why did they endure through it? How did they endure through it? More questions have swirled through my mind surrounding these women. It brings me back to Jesus. Why did he endure? How did he endure? Questions always seem to lead to more questions. Has anyone in here asked God why? Has that been your prayer? Why? Why was this allowed to happen? Why am I not seeing the promises of God in my life? Why? Thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit who breathes wisdom and revelation and knowledge into those deepest parts of our heart. When my heart has cycled through these questions and I've walked through suffering in my own life, the questions that come back more than any other, more than why, is I ask myself, do I know the glory of God? It never makes sense to us how God would be glorified in suffering or trauma or depression or anxiety or loss, grief. It's very easy as followers of Jesus to pray and believe for God's will to be done, only to be met by disappointment and confusion and despair when the glory of God is revealed in our own life through suffering. I cannot imagine the women that followed Jesus, who devoted their lives to him, who ministered to him in the flesh, who loved him and made the choice to endure to the end. They stayed and they watched their Savior be crucified before their very eyes. Do you think they felt like God was being glorified in that moment? Do you think that they understood what was happening? That they knew their promise? But surely they didn't expect the Son of God to be murdered before their eyes as their promise fulfilled. Can you imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus? Can you imagine the process that she walked through with Jesus from infant to adult? It's a daily act to lay your child on the altar, believing and trusting God with their heart and life. Could you imagine the moment for Mary as she watched her son that she gave birth to, the Son of God, given as a sacrificial lamb? Could she see the glory of God being manifested in her life in that moment? She endured the pain and the suffering and the torment. Can you imagine the faith that it took to be able to endure to the end, to stay in a place of surrender that allows the will of God to be done? How easy it would have been to stand in the way of that glorious moment of grief, doing anything and everything to take control of that situation, instead of standing on the promises of God, believing that even though they seem so far off, that it was an answered prayer. So many of us believe that we see or feel the glory of God in our lives when our prayers are answered, when the breakthrough comes, when we can see the victory and proclaim the victory in our own lives. Yet reading through my Bible and in my own life, I have seen that the will of God happens more through our suffering than from victory. Amen. I've seen it in enduring to the end, not in answered prayers. I've seen it through prayers that only tears can pray. I've seen it in the wilderness when there was no provision. I've seen it in the famine. I've seen it in laying my daughter on the altar and trusting that the Lord has a plan and a purpose for her life. And I've seen it in walking away when it didn't make sense. And I thought the glory of God would be revealed only through victory, only through joy, only through answered prayers. Yet in his grace, his glory is revealed in our suffering so that he alone gets the glory. And it is only because of the suffering that I have experienced in the last couple years of my own life that I get to stand before you and to talk to you and to share in what the Lord wants to do in this house tonight. Let's keep reading in Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen and they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, and it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. Then there you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. The most beautiful part of this story, of the woman enduring to the end, is that it was those same women who stayed, who endured, who continued to hope even after death, that were the first to see the resurrected King.
Yes, yes, yes.
The call to come and die became the call to come and live. And tonight it's time to shake off your grave clothes. Tonight it is time. We have all placed seeds in the ground. Those promises that we've been praying for years. Some, maybe you started praying for one tonight. God may have told you certain things that it has been decades. It's time to pick those back up again. It's time to cross over because the King is here. And because that same call that Jesus had to come and die is now the call to come and live.
Yes. Amen.
The whole purpose of enduring it is necessary to know what you're carrying. You can't endure if you don't know what is inside of you. You can't endure if you have not aligned yourself with Jesus. Because we build a lot of things in our lives that are built on sinking sand. We build altars that were never meant to be built. But if you know what you're carrying, if you know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and you know exactly who you were created to be, then you build on a foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that you can go into the world and proclaim and reveal Jesus through your life, through your testimony. I could stand up here all day and tell you all the things that Satan has tried to do in my life and call it a testimony. But that's not a testimony. The testimony is that I am standing here before you. The word for womb, W-O-M-B in Hebrew, is rekem, which means a place of deep, compassionate love. It comes from the root word rakam, which speaks of mercy, tender love, compassion, and protection. In Hebrew, God's name, El Rakam, means the God of compassion. The name of God expresses his character of compassion and mercy. The womb in every woman is a place that expresses God's character in the form of love, tender mercies, and compassion. More than a physical place for birthing, it is a channel from which compassion motivated by love emanates. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Eve. You would think God would tell us a little bit more in scripture other than she was the mother of all living in Genesis 3:20. You would think there would be some type of woman's manual or mother's manual or blueprint that would help us, you know, get through on those hard days. Yet none was needed because Eve's identity in the kingdom of God was mother of all living. It wasn't a job title. It didn't start when Cain and Abel were born, and it didn't end when Abel died. A mother was who Eve was created to be. Even through the pain and the consequences of the fall, Eve was still and will always be the mother of all living. Through Eve, living in her true identity in the kingdom of God, her legacy was created. Her children had children. And it was then, Genesis 4:26 says, that at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So what if being a woman isn't defined by the standards of the world? What if our purpose on earth isn't just for another title or another job or simply to survive those sleepless nights? What if the purpose of birthing physically or spiritually is to partner with heaven to share the heart of God with the world around us? The womb signifies the beginning of life, a place where life is created and nurtured. It is God's creative power on display. Mankind is God's physical wombs on the earth, birthing his promises. And when we do not step in to our full identity, who we are called to be individually, knit together in our mother's womb, how can we continue to walk in that identity if we don't know who we are? We're going to dive into some of the women in the Bible. Each of these women introduce us to a new name of God in the Bible, a new facet of his character, of his heart. Sarah was barren. She birthed Isaac at 90 years old and then surrendered him when God told Abraham to offer him as a sacrifice, Genesis 17 and 22. The name of God we're introduced through Sarah is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Hagar was a slave and given to her owner's husband to birth children. She then fled to the wilderness where an angel met her and told her if she returned to the harsh treatments of her mistress that God would bless her son and multiply her offspring. Genesis 16, El Roi, the God who sees. Rebecca was barren and her husband prayed to the Lord on her behalf and the Lord granted his request and she conceived. War broke out in her womb and the Lord said to her, two nations were in your womb and she gave birth to twins, Genesis 25. Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had two wives, Leah was hated and her womb was open and Rachel's womb was barren, but then God remembered and he birthed the 12 tribes of Israel through both of them, Genesis 29 and 30. Yahweh, the God of Israel. Moses' mother was only known as a Levite woman. Her name is not written in the Bible. The mother of the child that set the Israelites free, the one that led them through the Red Sea to their freedom. Her name was never given. She hid him when Pharaoh wanted to kill him, and she placed him in a basket among the reeds by the riverbank until she found in a dock, and he, sorry, the riverbank until he was found and adopted by Pharaoh's own daughter. Pharaoh's daughter then brought him back to his birth mother so that she could care for him until he was weaned. He then was brought into the very palace that wanted him dead, and he was raised there and prepared in a very home that would one day rescue his people. Exodus 2 through 3. The name of God is El, A-A, I am who I am. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was barren, and she cried out to the Lord, and in due time she conceived. She then gave her son back to the Lord as an act of obedience and an act of worship, and he grew up in the temple with the priest Eli, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Elizabeth was barren, yet both her and her husband Zechariah were found righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statute of the Lord. Elizabeth was well advanced in years. She birthed John the Baptist, who grew up in the wilderness and became strong in spirit until his public appearance, when he would preach the kingdom of God in preparation for the coming Savior of the world. Elohim, mighty one. Mary, beloved, favored one, the young girl who conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, the one who said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." The womb that birthed Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the woman that gave her life and surrendered her son so that all could be saved. Luke 1 and 2, Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible is filled with every background and every age of many, many women. Women who failed miserably. Women who were righteous. Their stories were messy. Each of their lives were filled with grief and pain and confusion. Each story is also filled with a great love story of redemption. The only real thing these mothers had in common were they walked in their calling and their purpose. And they walked fully surrendered to the Lord. They feared him. They loved him. They trusted him. They knew him. Each of these women's testimonies ushered in the presence of God in a new way. In each passage of scripture, we're invited to know God by a new name. You have no idea what walking in your true identity in the kingdom of God will birth in the earth. God is being revealed in your story. The hard parts, the messy parts, the parts that hurt, the parts that have great joy and great suffering at the same time. Can you imagine the lives that will be transformed by you knowing exactly who you are as God's daughter? When you know your identity in Christ and your purpose in the kingdom, you raise sons and daughters, whether they're your own or in your church or in your neighborhood, that know exactly who they are. And when your sons and your daughters know who they are, they walk fully in their callings too. People are saved and transformed when we know who God is and when we know who we are in him. The children of God, releasing the fullness of God by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. God created you on purpose, for a purpose. Nothing is wasted. No story is outside the redemption of God. Sometimes there's mysteries in this life. Mysteries, things that we don't understand along the way, along our stories, things that we pray, why? 7 years of journaling what the Holy Spirit was telling me, and it was all mysteries to me. None of it made sense until the Lord started revealing those mysteries, and he started revealing those new names of God in my life. There's still mysteries. There's always going to be mysteries. But now, instead of praying why, I ask God, what do you want me to know about this? And I rest and I trust that he is a good father. And he will tell me exactly what I need to know about this. And then I say, okay, Father, now that I know this, what do you want me to do with that information? I now see the invitation to partner with heaven and to pray and intercede those same prayers in a different way. We as the body of Christ are in a new season where God is inviting us once again to pick up the prayers that we've laid down, those ones that we gave up on, the ones that we thought, well, maybe I heard God wrong, the ones that we thought, well, maybe if I would have made a different decision, maybe then it would have happened. But the Holy Spirit has told you and given you promises, not just in his word, but promise to you individually. The prayers that we gave up on because we didn't see the answer in our own timing, or we didn't see the answer the way that we thought we should have. But he's pruned us, and he's refined us, and he's realigned us so that we are in correct alignment and submitted to God and only to God, so that now our foundation can move forward on a firm rock, that we can remain evergreen, always growing, always rooted deeply in Christ, that no matter what that ground beneath us looks like, that we can still hang on and pursue and endure to the end, so that we can walk in the resurrected King and that call to come and live. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." All those mysteries in your life that you've been begging for answers for, now is the time to take them back to Jesus. Now is the time to pick them back up and bring them to his feet. Now is the time to surrender every desire of your heart and exchange it for his heart. Now is the time to honor God in the preparation so that when that day comes, that you are already armed up and ready for battle. Who knows how many lives you will save because you said yes to seeking the Lord concerning those mysteries in your life. The Hebrew word for wait in the Bible is kava. It means to hope for, to remain, to be bound together, to be entwined together, like two ropes braided together so closely that it becomes one. When we wait on the Lord, not only do we regain the strength we need to stand once again, but our lives proclaim the glory of God through our hearts being bound, being entwined as one with him, and his desires become our desires, and his will becomes our will. Psalms 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued, and you they trusted and were not put to shame. Have you cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Worldwide, we have seen such darkness. Sickness, loss, warfare, poverty, broken families, and the list goes on and on. No one is immune to the valley of the shadow of death in our lives. I know I am not the only one who has cried out, God, where are you? Does that cry of the heart feel familiar? Have you been waiting on the Lord or been in the deep depths of grief in this season? Have you found yourself unable to pray anything other than tears? Or maybe have you simply been met in silence in the secret place? You're not alone. In fact, there's probably a lot more people than you know walking through the same process of the Lord that you are. At the beginning of the year, I was in isolation just by myself, healing, meeting with Jesus, asking him all these questions. And I was having a lot of pain in my neck and my spine, mainly from stress. And it finally got to the point where I couldn't push through anymore. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And he said, go get a massage. And I, number one, didn't have the money for a massage. And number two, going to get a massage and having a me day felt like not the answer at the time. And so I finally gave in. I kept pushing through, and I really felt the Holy Spirit tell me to go to this appointment. And so when I arrived there, I never saw the lady that was giving the massage until the end. But I could tell as soon as I lay down on the table and she started working, I could tell that it just wasn't a good massage. She was gifted. She knew exactly what my body needed without me having to say anything. And so halfway through, I felt a little tug from the Holy Spirit to tip her extra. And the amount that I heard as I was praying through the massage was way more than I thought was necessary, way more than I thought that I could give. And the Holy Spirit told me, this girl is using her gifts to bless you. She's believing for me to provide for her and her family just like you are. I'm giving you the opportunity to partner with me to release my glory in her life. And if you've ever had one of those moments where the Holy Spirit, where you just can't argue, and it was like, yes, sir, I heard you, that was that moment. So the massage ends. My pain had dramatically reduced. And I came out of the room, and I was going to pay. And I finally saw her, and she was pregnant. Another mom like me, warring for her child and believing God for his provision. It was in that moment of great pain in my body where God gave me this holy invitation to partner with him to release his love into the earth, into a family, into a daughter. We don't know the prayers that are being prayed around us, and we don't know the process or the trials that they're enduring. We don't know the consecration or the warfare. It's so easy to stay focused on our own pain, our own fears, and our own problems. It's so easy to get to this place in prayer that we're so focused on the things that we know and that we see. It's so easy to fix our eyes on what we want in life or even the things that we think we desperately need. Yet we serve a God who loves his daughters. And he's doing something not just in us, but in the earth through our lives. And he's preparing his bride for his glorious return. When we get so fixated on our own pain, it's so easy to miss the big picture of what is really going on in the preparation of our lives. I was reminded that day that if I can have faith that he'll provide for her, then of course he can provide for me too. When we see God rightly for exactly who he is and remove every distraction, we then remain in the proper alignment where we're not praying out of our pain or places of weakness, but instead we're hearing and seeing what he is doing. It's then that we're able to partner with him in even the most mundane moments of our day so that he can release his kingdom through us into the spaces and the regions of the earth that are so desperate for his love and his truth and his grace. God is so much more powerful than we realize. When our hearts are fully surrendered to him and the way that he wants to be glorified, not the way that we think makes the most sense to us, we are able to receive so much more from him. Did you know that there's a woman in the Bible who built an ark? When you think of the ark in the Bible, you think of Noah. But there's another major story in the Bible where a woman built an ark. We know her as a Levite woman. We don't even know her name, but can you guess who her son is? The Hebrew word tabah translates to English as an ark or a vessel. It can also refer to a small basket or a cradle. Exodus 2, 1 through 10 says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it in bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank." The same word used in the Bible to describe Noah's Ark is the exact same word to describe the basket that Moses' mother had made. When she hid him from Pharaoh, there were two boats, one that saved a family and all the animals on earth, and another that saved one life that set an entire nation free. One man and one woman that walked in obedience to God and his plan to usher in the deliverance to the world. This is the season we're in. This is why we're enduring. Because the Lord is asking us to build an ark. What's that crazy dream that you keep laying down? Is it huge like Noah's Ark? Does it look absolutely crazy to the world? No one in Noah's time had ever seen rain. Can you imagine what he looked like? He must have looked foolish to the world. Yet God blessed Noah's faith and his obedience, and God saved Noah's family and delivered them in his mercy. The Levite woman feared God just like the midwives, and she knew that God was calling her to save her son's life. So what did she do? She built a little teeny tiny ark, placed her son in it, and sent him down the river to Pharaoh's daughter. Adopted him as her own. Moses grew up in royalty in the very household that wanted to kill him and his people. He then walked in the fear of the Lord and led them to victory. What if we stopped looking at what it will cost and started looking at what it will cause? What if we took that step of faith? Could it save a life? Could it save a family? Could it deliver a nation? What if we endured to the end? What if we kept pushing through, not in survival mode, but thriving, fully known, fully loved? I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Knowing exactly who God is and exactly who we are in him. You heard his voice correctly. All those promises that you've laid down, it's time to pick them up. It's time to cross over. It's time to repent for the things that you've aligned to, things that you were never meant to align to. There's so much grace. There's so much mercy. And all it takes is surrender to know and to love Jesus more than anything else. Before the Lord started taking me on this journey of coming out of the wilderness, he told me, I need you to love me more. I said, God, what are you talking about? I love you. I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. I love you. He said, no, I need you to love me more. I need you to love me more so that you can endure to the end. I need you to love me more so that you can get out of the way and surrender to glory, my glory. I need you to get out of the way and come to a place of trust where I can move even when it doesn't make sense to you. You're God's daughter, fully loved, fully known, created on purpose, for a purpose. And God doesn't want you in survival mode. He doesn't want you carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, and he doesn't want you to be anything other than exactly who he created to be. You are safe, you are loved, and you are held in the arms of Jesus. His blood covers it. So it's time by faith to pick up those promises and to cross over and to take back the ground that the enemy has stolen in your life, knowing that God is faithful. And surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. It's time to build the ark. Whatever he's placed in your hands, whether that's simply a healthy life, a whole family, whether it's a book, a new business, whatever it is that is going to give you the ability to step into the fullness of God and then reveal the fullness of God in your life. So as we wrap up here tonight, I want to pray and release you into that freedom to be all that God has created you to be, to equip you to keep going, to be like those women that stayed and watched their Savior suffer and be murdered before their eyes, knowing that your promise is fulfilled in Jesus. He is enough. He is all you need. He is your portion. And victory alone comes through him. If you have lost sight of who you are tonight and you would like prayer, I invite you to stand up right now. If you have laid down your promises or been bound up by the weight that the wilderness has placed on your life, I want you to stand up right now. If you need specific healing, physical, mental, emotional, trauma, mental warfare, or physically in your body, I want you to stand up. And if you're not standing, I invite you to go lay hands on those that are standing and believe. If you don't have faith for yourself tonight, but you have faith for somebody else, I want you to go lay hands on somebody and believe with them. And their faith for standing is going to lead them. We're daughters tonight, fully known, fully loved. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are releasing freedom in this room tonight, God. I thank you that you know these women. You see them and you are revealing yourself to them in new ways tonight, God, ways that they have never known you before. Father, I ask that you would release your spirit on them in a new way, God, where they would go on this journey with you of uncovering everything that they are called and created to be. Father, I pray for those that have laid down their promises. God, I pray that you would give them the strength to pick up those promises once again. Whether it was a whisper from you, whether it was a promise made that only you know about, God, I pray that you would blow on these promises, God, and that they would reap a harvest in your correct season, God. And I pray that in the wait, that these women would be entwined and bound together with you in such a way, God, that your desires are their desires, that your heart is their heart, that they do not look to the left or to the right, but their eyes are fixed on you, flames of fire, your hair white as wool, your voice as mighty rushing waters. God, let that be the image that we keep before us as we run this race together. Father, I pray for anybody in this room that has been through trauma and grief and pain and depression and anxiety and grief and loss and poverty. Father, I thank you that you are powerful. I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are Yahweh. You are the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. Father, I thank you that you bring healing, that you bring freedom, and that you bring victory. And I ask, Father, that we would fix our eyes on you in such a way that every distraction is removed in the name of Jesus. That every weight that has been held on us, God, whether by our own choices or by the ways of this world, God, that they are broken now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you are a God who restores and you are a God who redeems. I thank you, Jesus, that no weapon formed against us will prosper and every tongue that rises in judgment will be proven wrong. I thank you, God, that we are crossing over into new land, the promised land, God. And I thank you that all that means is we get you. We don't need anything else, Jesus. We just need you. We just need you, Father. You are our portion, you are our reward, and you are worthy, God. So I pray that the oil in our lamps would be lit on fire and that you would keep us burning. God, all we have is the oil. All we have is what's been crushed out of us, but we bring it to your feet and we leave it there and we wait on you until you blow, until you pour the fire on, God. You're worthy. You're worthy of the cost. You're worthy of our lives laid down. You're worthy of being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. So Father, I pray specifically for those women that stood, that are believing you by faith. And I pray, God, that they would just feel the weight of your presence, that they would just feel the weight of you smiling down on them, knowing that they are yours, knowing that everything they need and everything that they desire is found in you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.